Qu'est-ce qu'il y a faute? Qu'est-ce qu'il y a faute sur Bale? Il est passé de toute façon. Il résiste à la faute de Bartra.
La Punt with Michael Wood.
Hello, welcome along to the Euros Punt podcast here with William Hill. It's Michael Wood here to take you through all the betting ahead of the two matches on Monday, the 27th of June. We have a repeat of the Euro 2012 final as Italy take on the holders Spain, and all eyes will be on England when they take on Iceland. Over the course of the podcast, we'll hear country finals with Lee Phelps. We've got Spanish football expert Carl Matchett and Italian football writer David Swan to preview Italy against Spain. And our very own Dave Kellner will be chatting to Derek McGovern to get his thoughts on England against Iceland. And as always on the Euros Punt podcast, I'll be giving you a trivia question, which I'll give to you now. And the question is, which country has produced the most Premier League winning managers? So the trivia question is, which country has produced the most Premier League winning managers? I'll be giving the answer to that question at the end of the podcast, so stick around for that. Well, let's go to our first port of call for Monday's action at the Euros with the last 16 clash between Italy and the holders Spain, which gets underway at 5 o'clock. To get a bit of a background on Spain before we look at the betting for this one, here is Country Files with Lee Phelps.
Welcome to Spain, where nudity is legal. The next time you're using a stapler, you can thank the Spanish. The first known stapler was made in the 18th century in the Basque Country, and every single staple was engraved with the royal emblem. Spain has also given the world the mop and bucket, the forerunner of the modern cigarette, and the astronaut's spacesuit. There's no tooth fairy in Spain. When Spanish children lose a tooth, they put it under their pillow, and a small mouse called Ratoncito Perez comes to collect it, and they leave a small gift or money in its place. And every Christmas in this nation, lots and lots and lots of money is paid out. Spain's national lottery, El Gordo, translated as the fat one, pays out some 2.24 billion euros. Nice Christmas for someone.
Our thanks to Lee Phelps there. Well, here's the latest betting for Italy against Spain with William Hill. Italy are 100-30 to win in 90 minutes. The draw is 9-5 and Spain are 23-20. To qualify, Italy are 6-4 and Spain the big favourites at 8-15. This will be the 35th time that these two have met, with the record perfectly balanced so far with 10 wins each and 14 draws. It is also the 6th time that these two sides have met at the Euros, having played each other 4 times in the last 3 Euro tournaments. And most notably out of those was the Euros final in 2012, when Spain beat Italy comprehensively 4-0 to retain the title. With that in mind, I asked Italian football expert David Swan if Italy could avenge that defeat on Monday.
No, in a word. I think it will be very difficult, I think, to withstand that Spain attack for 90 minutes, potentially 120 if it goes to extra time. So I think they're going to struggle. It's a really interesting clash of styles, really, when you look at it, because I don't think any other matchup in the tournament perhaps provides that. And I think that's probably what's been so interesting about these clashes, certainly over the last, let's say, 8 years, when they've really started meeting on a regular basis. So no, I think it will be difficult for them.
We did mention just briefly about the defeats of the Republic of Ireland. Obviously, Italy made a number of changes. A number of key stars missed out, so we expect most of those to come back. But one man who won't be there is Antonio Candreva, who has a groin injury. Just how big of a blow will that be?
I think it kind of depends who you ask. He's the one player who has a little bit of quality, certainly on the delivery in the final third, from wide areas. So he'll be a loss, but my kind of thoughts on the Italy squad is that a lot of them are quite interchangeable, apart from Buffon on the back three. I think if you any of the others in the midfield five and up front, I think you can kind of take one out and you can put another one in and you won't lose a great deal. I think Cantrell was probably one of the better players of that forward seven. But by and large, I think they'll be able to replace him with a player who will be able to provide the same sort of thrust. I think it'll be Florenzi who plays on the right-hand side, and he'll be able to offer the same sort of pace that Kondrova offers. Slightly different in that he doesn't have the same sort of delivery from wide areas, but he's kind of more of a traditional winger, and I think he'll get into the box a little bit more.
Indeed, and we've got a couple of enhanced special offers here with William Hill. Graziano Pella to score and Italy to win in 90 minutes. It was 13-2, it's now 8-1. And Adair to score, Italy to win, and both teams to score in 90 minutes is 25-1, so a huge price there. And Adair has actually been quite impressive so far, scored that winner against Sweden.
He was okay. I mean, I think he's going to get a lot of criticism. He'll be back in the team, obviously, for the Spain game. I'll be honest, I'm not his biggest fan. I think there are players in the squad who have a little bit more quality than he does. He does a lot of work off the ball, which I think is why, obviously, Conte likes him a lot. Whether he scores or not is going to be questionable. The problem you've got, really, I think, with Italy, any Italy goal scorers, is that they're not going to have the ball for much of the match at all. So I'd certainly be looking more in terms of odds on Spain scoring, or at least going to extra time. I think that's a lot of their games in competitive matches have been draws. You think of Confederations Cup, semi-final went to pens. Year 2012, the first group match, that was a draw. Year 2008 went to penalties. Obviously, that final was a little bit of an anomaly based on their past results. So certainly I'd be looking at probably more the game to go to extra time, and probably Italy not scoring, I have to be honest.
So Italy not to score is a play for you. And looking at the stats, mentioning goals for Italy, it does seem to be a bit of a problem. That Italy have failed to score in three of their last four knockout games at the Euros. And do you see that continuing against Spain?
Yeah, mainly because I think, obviously, I said they won't have a lot of the ball. And obviously, going into the tournament, there's all the talk about whether the squad was actually good, the worst Italian squad ever. They do have seriously lack quality going forward. You saw that against Ireland, even. And that team, the nine changes that they made against Ireland, actually, a lot of the players that came in kind of had a little bit more quality than the ones that you'll see against Spain. So a lot of it is going to be kind of counter-attacking. I think Spain are kind of a little bit wise to Italy's game plan. The 3-5-2, oddly enough, that Italy use has really caused Spain problems in the last few meetings. They played in the friendly in March, and Italy used 3-5-2 there. They used it in year 2012 in the first group game, in the Confederations Cup semi that I mentioned as well. It really does cause Spain a lot of problems, and it's quite strange why they haven't managed to counter that. But nevertheless, I think when you haven't got the ball, I think scoring is going to be very difficult, and they're going to be relying on a lot of diagonal balls out to Florenzi on the right, on whoever plays on the left.
You've mentioned, obviously, Italy struggling to score in terms of their attacking talent, and it's been a similar sort of problem for Spain as well. So could a low scoring game be worth a play? I'm just looking at the total match goals under 1.5 goals is 11-10.
Sure, I think so. I was talking just a minute ago about the previous meetings. A lot of them have all been low scoring games. That year 2012 final, as I said, was a little bit of an anomaly based on previous meetings. I mean, you look at their other ones. The friendly, I think, in March was 1-1. But there are other competitive games, they were 0-0, 0-0, 1-1, obviously the 4-0 that I mentioned. So certainly under 1.5 goals, or under 2.5 goals as well, would be worth a look, definitely.
Our thanks there to David Swan. Well, we've heard the Italian side of things ahead of this huge last 16 encounter. Let's get the Spanish point of view now with Carl Matchett, who's a Spanish football writer for the Bleacher Report. Dave Kellner has been in conversation with Carl. And Dave began by asking him that with that final group game defeat to Croatia for Spain, leaving them in the difficult side of the draw in the knockout stages, just how hard will it be for the Spanish to progress?
A lot of people were surprised that Spain, especially after taking the lead in the last group match against Croatia, went on to lose. And it certainly cost them in terms of how difficult it's going to be for them now to go all the way to the final. Like you say, it's an extremely competitive side of the draw that they're on. I think it's going to make for some fantastic matches, especially this first one against Italy. And they are now going to have to be brave and concentrated in the performances if they're going to retain their title.
What do you think happened in that last group game? Because Vicente Del Bosque kept his starting 11 together and everyone was expecting Spain to make serene progress. And it just didn't quite materialise for Spain. And David De Gea was a little bit shaky in net as well.
Yeah, he didn't have his best game. But I think in the second half, really, Spain as a whole, they dropped their performance level quite significantly. They started playing some fantastic football, took an early lead. They could have scored maybe another one or two goals before Croatia really got into gear. But you know, full credit to Croatia, they came out and they were a lot more aggressive. And Spain, their movement in the final third stopped. I wasn't overly impressed with Del Bosque's substitutions. He took quite a lot of that movement in the final third away when he brought on Bruno Soriano with his first substitution. And they really did struggle to create anything of note after that point. And there was only really, once it was 1-1, only really looked like Croatia could go on and win it. And I think in the end, they deserved to. For Spain's point of view, I think the loss to Georgia just before the tournament started acted as a mobility for them to refocus their efforts. And I think this defeat to Croatia now has to do exactly the same thing. They've got to be absolutely on top of their game every time they take to the pitch. Otherwise, they're not going to win.
Are the country still confident, Carl?
I think so overall. They do realise that you know, they have played some of the best football on show at the Euros. They do still have world-class players in most positions. And if they do turn it on, as they did in the second game of the group stage, as they did early on against Croatia, they still can beat anybody. And you know, everybody that they're going to come up against, they've already shown that they're a better side along the way. So there's still confidence that it can be done, but there's not, let's say, the assurity that there was heading into previous tournaments when they had obviously come into back-to-back trophies. And there is definitely an acceptance that if they play anywhere below their best level, a team like Italy, who have proven defensively extremely sound and they've picked up a couple of big results themselves already, you know, it's easily feasible that Spain could have an early exit here.
Spain's starting lineup has been the same 11 for the opening three games of the tournament, all in the group stages. Do you think Del Bosque will make any changes at all? It would take the goalkeeper out of things.
I don't think so. You know, I mean, maybe at some point suspension is going to come into play. But I would imagine the front three exactly as they are, Silva, Nolito and Morata. Really, the only call that there has been for a change is with Cesc Fabregas. He hasn't really impressed overall again. He had maybe 20 minutes against Croatia where he looked quite good, but still hasn't really been as effective as he might be. And when you've got people like Koke and Thiago on the bench, quality players who've had good seasons, or good end to the season at least, there is certainly question marks over why he continues to be in the team. But again, I think it will be this time, at least against Italy, that Cesc starts, the same 11 starts. If they get through and people haven't quite performed, if a substitute comes on and has a big impact, then maybe, yeah, we'll see a bit of a change later on. But I'd be surprised if it happened this time.
So the match prices here, Carl, 16-5 Italy to win the game. The draw, 19-10 Spain, 23-20 to qualify for the last eight, the quarterfinals. Italy 6-4 in that market. Spain 8-15. What's your prediction, Carl?
I really do think this is one of the ties which could go all the way to extra time. So I think a draw in the 90 minutes is definitely on the cards here. I can see them cancelling each other out with quite slow play at times, a lot of possession for Spain, which Italy will defend well against. Going through, if it doesn't go to penalties, which is pretty much pot luck, then I think the mentality of Spain, the resilience and their composure in possession over a longer period will see them through in the end. So I'd go for Spain to qualify, but not necessarily a win in the 90.
Our thanks to Carl Matchett for his thoughts on Spain against Italy. Well, make sure you get your bets on with William Hill. Sports.williamhill.com is the website you need, and check the football pages there for the latest betting and enhanced offers on Italy against Spain. You can also look at the latest prices on the William Hill app as well. Well, let's move on to Game 2 on Monday, which sees England take on Iceland at 8 o'clock. This is the third time that these two have faced each other, with England unbeaten, having drawn one, and winning 6-1 in 2004, with Wayne Rooney grabbing a couple of goals in that one. Looking at England's stats at the Euros, Their previous four knockout games have all gone to penalties. That's something to consider. They've won one of those at Euro 96 against Spain, but have lost the other three, and the last of those coming against Italy in 2012. For Iceland, well, they've been one of the highlights of the tournament so far, unbeaten currently, having beaten Austria and picking up draws against Portugal and Hungary. Well, let's take a look at the latest betting here with William Hill for England against Iceland. And England, no surprises. The big favourites here, 8-15 to win inside 90 minutes. The draw is 13-5, and Iceland are at 7-1 to win in 90 minutes. To qualify, England are 1-5, and Iceland are 7-2. There's plenty of enhanced odds offers to get involved with. Wayne Rooney to score and England to win in 90 minutes was 12-5. It's now 3-1. If you fancy Harry Kane to score, with him rumoured to be in line for a recall to the starting 11. Kane to score and England to win 2-0, 3-0 or 4-0 in 90 minutes is 5-1. And if you think Iceland can cause a shock, we'll have a look at Gylfi Sigurdsson to score and Iceland to win in 90 minutes. It was 14-1. It's now a huge 20-1. Well, we've heard the latest betting here, but let's get a more in-depth look at the game. And to do that, Dave Kellner has been chatting to the punt's Derek McGovern. He began by asking Derek for his thoughts on England's progression in the tournament so far.
Well, he surprised everyone by resting all those key players in the last game. The big surprise, because no one knew we had any key players. I mean, I said at the start of this tournament, why is Jack Wilshere on the plane over there? His second touch is a stretcher. I mean, the guy is just a walking accident. Joe Hart can't stop a free kick from half a mile out. Harry Kane went into the tournament as a potential world beater, but now not even a third world beater. It's just England do not look aside, and I blame the EMU face chancellor in charge. He's admitted he still doesn't know his best team. Could England have done any worse if you or I had been in charge? The answer is no, they couldn't have done. And you know, the long odds on to win this game, but Iceland, you know, they keep delivering obligingly at the neighbour's house. If you were out, you know, every match they've played, they've been big underdogs. And yet they've got something from each game. They're absolutely sensational. And you know, Roy Hodgson complains that there's few English players to choose from. But what about Iceland? Their population is so low. You know, in their 23-man squad that they announced, they had to name two ringers. And one of them was the key grip from Game of Thrones. They haven't exactly got an embarrassment of riches. England have got a few embarrassments, at the back. I've got no faith in England. And 1-5, England to qualify. You know, people were a cock-a-hoop when Iceland got that last goal, late goal against Austria, because it meant England would be playing Iceland rather than Portugal. Now, Iceland, we know what they're going to do. They're going to set up around their own box and say, come on, England, come and beat us. Well, that's exactly what Slovakia did. And look at the problems England had there. England would have had a better chance against Portugal, who I think are a bang, mediocre side. I'm almost tempted, you know, to go for Iceland in this at 15-2. But it is given that their attacking ambition will be limited, the professional punter will be opposing England at 8-15. So I'm looking out at the best way of doing that. And I always have to come back to the handicaps, I think. Iceland plus two goals is too short, 2-5. But Iceland plus a goal is 6-4. We see England are shot shy. If Iceland camp out at the back, I just don't see them breaking them down.
Here's one for you, Derek, just to back up your bet here. England, albeit unbeaten in 90 minutes in their last 10 games at the Euros, their last four knockout games have all gone to penalties. They won the first shootout with Spain back in Euro 96, but have lost the last three since then against Germany in 96, Portugal in 2004, and Italy in 2012. If you like the match to go to penalties, available here at 5-1. My concern with England, Derek, is what you mentioned at the start of this piece. Roy Hodgson doesn't know his best starting 11, doesn't know his best formation. His plan so far in this championship, which worked against Wales but didn't work against Slovakia or Russia, is just to throw all the strikers on, play without a formation, sit in the dugout with his head in his hands, hoping they're going to score.
Exactly. And It's matches like this that England have slipped up on in the past as well. I mean, they've slipped up, whenever they get to the knockout stage, they slipped up. But they've got history of going out to weak opposition. And you can imagine, if, say, after an hour, England haven't broken them down. You know, the 1-5 to qualify, they should be breaking them down before that. The press is going to get on the players. The manager, they're going to look to the manager for answers or for some kind of inspiration. They ain't going to get it from that quarter. The best they can hope for is old Neville having a few words with them. Well, this is a guy who lasted 5 minutes at Valencia. The whole coaching setup in England is an absolute joke, and that's being transmitted to the players in this tournament who don't know what day it is. Who seem to me to not know what day it is, and I think it's a shambles. And I keep asking this question, and no one's giving me an answer. How can this guy still be manager of England after the shambles of the last World Cup?
It's incredible, isn't it?
There's not a single manager of any other nation who could have presided over something like that and still have been in a job. Look at David Cameron. I've never said a good word about Cameron. He's presided over the shambles of a Remain boat. His first instinct was to resign. Well, Roy didn't do that. He stuck it out, and look what we've been left with now.
Yep. Now, there's a few people out there thinking they'd parachute you in, but without the parachute, Derek.
Hey, remind me, I'd be sure in one of those for sale magazines, for sale, one parachute, slightly soiled. There wouldn't have been too many buyers, would there?
Our thanks to Dave and Derek for their preview of England against Iceland. Well, it's time to reveal the answer to our trivia question that was given at the start of this podcast. The question was, which country has produced the most Premier League winning managers? And the answer is Italy. So hopefully you got Italy as the answer for the question of which country has produced the most Premier League winning managers. Well, that's all of Monday's games wrapped up on this edition of the Punt Podcast. Our thanks to Lee Phelps for his country file on Spain. And our thanks to David Swan, Carl Matchett, Dave Kellner and Derek McGovern for their analysis on Monday's matches. Just to recap on the betting for those two games on Monday, we'll start with England against Iceland. England 8-15 to win in 90 minutes. The draw is 13-5. Iceland are at 7-1 to win in 90 minutes. To qualify, England are 1-5 and Iceland are at 7-2. And moving on to the earlier game, which sees Italy take on Spain. Italy are 130 to win in 90 minutes. The draw is 9-5. Spain are 23-20 to win in 90 minutes. And to qualify, Italy are 6-4 and Spain are 8-15. So make sure you get your bets on with William Hill. Also, for live betting coverage for all of those games, make sure you tune in to InPlay Radio, which is live from 12 p.m. for coverage of the Euros and also Wimbledon. Also, remember to tune in to the Punt Podcast Daily for the best pre-match analysis and tips during the duration of the Euros. Well, thank you for listening to this edition of the Euros Punt Podcast, and make sure you download this via audioboom.com, or you can find us on iTunes as well. Till next time, enjoy your betting with William Hill, and the Punt Podcast will be back to preview the quarterfinals of the Euros.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.